Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 146 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from A.J. Parr's book, The Girl Who Visited Heaven and Other Children's Near-Death Experiences. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. And I put a link to the book in the show notes. And I did seek permission to record this extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to read from chapter 11, which is titled Peggy Robinson's Near-Death Experience. And this is what AJ has written. When Peggy was 5 years old, she was sitting alone in her room playing with Barbie dolls. Her mum walked in and said, "It's hot outside, let's go swimming." She told Peggy and her older brother John to go on down ahead, and she and Peggy's sister, Terry, would come down after a bit. They quickly put on their swimsuits, ran down the hill, and got into the pond. John, who was a good swimmer, went to the deeper end, dove in, and started doing laps back and forth. Peggy could only dog paddle, so she was watching for her mum and sister to come. I eased myself into the water and felt around with my foot for drop-offs because I knew I could go under, she told me when I interviewed her. Then I found a board floating. I thought I could use it as a raft and do what my brother was doing. So I put my belly on the board and paddled out to the centre of the pond. I yelled, "Hey John, look at me!" My brother saw me, swam out fast, took my board and continued doing laps on it, and I drowned. Peggy struggled desperately to stay above the water, but her efforts were in vain. She would briefly manage to lift her eyes above the surface, gasping for air, only to be pulled back under by the relentless current. Each time she surfaced, her panic grew, and her movements became more frantic. The water was brown and muddy, churning around her, making it impossible to see anything clearly. She lost all sense of direction, disoriented by the swirling murkiness. As she spun around, her small body was dragged further down into the depths. Her limbs grew heavy, and her attempts to fight the water became weaker with each passing second. The once familiar pond had transformed into a disorienting and terrifying abyss, swallowing her in its depths. Struggling for her life, I was struggling to breathe, felt like I was screaming underwater, and felt very lonely down there. Nobody knew I needed help. I thought about my mom and sister up at the house, and suddenly, I was at the ceiling of the kitchen looking down at them. They were getting stuff ready to bring down, like for a little picnic or something. I didn't hear them say anything, but I could feel their thoughts and concentration. Then I was back in the water, struggling. My throat felt like it would burst. It hurt so bad. The next thing I knew, I woke up. The water was no longer brown and muddy. It was light, transparent green and shiny. I felt rested, like waking up from a nap. I thought my parents lied to me about drowning because I was fine. I couldn't wait to tell my siblings they'd lied. Peggy realized there was no such thing as drowning because she felt fine. Then, she felt as if she were at the bottom of the pond and saw fish swimming right by in front of her face. As a 5-year-old, she was fascinated by their mouths, fins and tails. They bumped into her, and her body just pushed off to the side like driftwood. This memory came to her because she was confused about what was happening. I remembered looking into a fishbowl at home, thinking, "Why aren't the fish afraid of my hand?" That brought an aha moment. The fish know something I don't. I'm dead. The fish know the difference between something alive and dead. I thought I didn't want to be a dead girl at the bottom of the pond, so I went up to the top of the water. Flying over the pond, it was like my vision changed. I could see below and above the water at the same time. I thought I was bored with below, so I'd go above. I went as high as the treetops and thought that was far enough for now. I was getting used to this. I was afraid of heights, but I didn't have a body. I was like a ghost kid, hovering over the pond. I could see clear across Route 7 to the Ohio River. To my right were train tracks going up the hill past our house and down toward the other town. I felt the advantage of seeing from up high. Peggy went toward a two-story house and walked in without opening the door. The old people sitting around a kitchen table grew quiet and looked at her. She remained quiet and shy because in the 60s, children were taught not to interrupt adults. Peggy said she was looking for kids to play with, and a man at the table replied, "Check the graveyards." I left and was back at the pond, feeling like part of me had never left the centre of it. I hovered over the water and saw my mom and sister sitting on a bedsheet. I felt their conversation was very mature and envious because I'd never experienced that with my mum. Then I saw my brother on my board doing laps. I felt really angry because I felt he caused my death by taking my board when he didn't need it. I don't remember the rescue, but I woke up coughing up water over my brother's back. He was carrying me, and my mum and sister were right up ahead. My brother asked if he could put me down, and my mum turned and sighed with relief. They turned and whispered, then walked up to the house. My brother set me down on my feet and ran up to the house. I was sick from the pond water, weak with the knowledge of what had happened. When I was hovering over the pond, I was given the knowledge that my family didn't love me. I thought, oh, I didn't know that. Then she heard a voice clearly say, "Children are sent here to be loved. That is why God sends them here." I replied, "That's not fair. I just found out my family doesn't love me. And now you say children are sent here to be loved. It just didn't seem right." Standing alone on the road, remembering all this, Peggy asked herself, "Why should I go back to a house with a family that doesn't love me?" And that's when she decided to go back to the pond and put an end to her life. I didn't know the word suicide, but I felt I had the right to decide my life. I knew drowning hurt, but I thought I wouldn't fight it this time. I wanted to experience flying again. But then, as I was heading back to the water, an angel appeared and told me not to. "Why not? They don't love me," I complained. "Because you'll have a lot of love someday," the angel said. Peggy desisted and went home, got in bed and picked up a book. It was about a woman who lived in a shoe, and she saw a group of beds all lined up. She then thought to herself that perhaps that was what the angel meant when she said she'd have lots of love someday. "Maybe she means I'll have a lot of kids," she thought to herself. As the years passed, she concluded that maybe she was meant to love unloved children like she had been, and started imagining that she would one day have an orphanage and love children who were unloved like she had been. Over the years, she fostered 60 children, adopted 10, and had her own two. She then adopted her nephew and remarried. "I've always had this mission to help rescue children. It's just ingrained in me. My husband came with two daughters. We then adopted a sibling group of 5 and then a sibling group of 4. I worked at children's services and was really good at investigations. I can't help but wonder if that's why I experienced what I did over the pond." The next section is titled Peggy Robinson Today. Peggy is presently the host of the Near Death Experience TV YouTube podcast, one of the most popular of this type. She had a second near-death experience as an adult, as well as several spiritually transformative experiences. Her childhood NDE serves as a powerful testament to the mysteries of the afterlife and the enduring strength of the human spirit. Her story reminds us that even in our darkest moments, there is light that guides us, a love that surrounds us, and a purpose that awaits us, no matter what. So today I was reading from A.J. Parr's book, The Girl Who Visited Heaven and Other Children's Near-Death Experiences. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Our Paranormal Afterlife Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/ Our Paranormal Afterlife, or click on the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And just so you know, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression session with me. And I'm offering a free consultation call, which can be booked on my website. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.